Years ago, I was a young mother with four kids and no car. Fortunately, I lived in a small town in New Zealand where everything was within 2 or 3 miles. We had also been adopted by a neighbor, Bunty, who filled the role of mother while I lived there. One day I needed to go somewhere with the kids and wanted to ask Bunty for a ride. Bill, my husband, said no. He didn't want to inconvenience her. We had an argument where I complained that he would rather inconvenience me than her. Now let me tell you the same story from a different perspective, Bunty's. Bunty loved us as much as her own kids and grandkids. She had taken us to pick up both the kids we adopted. In fact, we had her hold them before we did. She was Nana to my kids, and the reason I am Nana instead of Grandma to my kids. When Bunty heard about this, she was disappointed. She would have loved to have helped. We, in order to not bother her, had denied her the privilege of helping us. Most of us, when we think of the other side of service, think about how good we feel when we give. In other words, what we give, what we get back when we give. But that is not the theme of this service. Most of you who are sitting here are givers. Giving a sermon on what you can get out of giving would be like preaching to the choir. Just look at how busy we all are, and a lot of those activities are giving. It could be caring for kids, or running errands for them. It could be church activities, which is a form of giving. It could be other volunteer work. There's also work and other activities. We are strong and capable. For the most part, we don't need any help. Plus, there's our American culture. Pull yourself up by your bootstraps. Be independent. Take care of yourself. These are all so prevalent in our culture that we don't even think of them as anything other than the way it is. But is it the way it is? And does it need to be? In New Zealand, the native population are the Maoris. My best friend while I was living there was Maori, and I learned a lot about their culture. Let me tell you about a big cultural difference. Imagine you were at a party. You arrived while it was warm and sunny, without a coat, but now the weather had turned cold and wet. You're now headed home. You go to the coat rack, grab a coat and umbrella, and head home. In the Maori culture, this is the way it should be. In the New Zealand culture, like our American culture, it's theft. What is the difference and why? In the Maori culture, there was not a strong attachment to things, but there was a deeper difference. There was not a barrier to be a receiver. It was natural. Asking to have the coat and umbrella would have been like asking permission to use the restroom. The host would have been insulted that you even asked. Now, we don't live in the Maori culture, and I'm not suggesting that you take coats without asking. But how many of you would even ask? You would just go home and be cold and wet. Most of you? Well, now let's look at it from the host's point of view. How many of you would be concerned and want to loan a coat to someone rather than have them be cold and wet? Again, most of you. This means you would rather give and never receive. Remember that saying from the Christian Bible, it is better to give than to receive? In fact, this seems to be the theme of our culture. Somehow we interpret that phrase, giving good, receiving bad. But it doesn't say this. In fact, it doesn't even imply it. When I went looking for the materials for the sermon, it was surprisingly difficult. The first thing I found was the topic of, let's see if I can even pronounce this, reciprocity. This sounds good, I thought, until I read further. It all seems to be give back what you receive. That is not necessarily pay back the person, but rather do some service for someone else instead. Well, that's a bit closer to what I had in mind. However, when you look at it, it's still based on this underlying concept of I just can't receive. I somehow have to pay it back so I won't be what? Is it I won't be the least? You see, our giving always seems to be people who are less fortunate than us, the needy. See, there it is, right there in that phrase. Needing something means we are less fortunate, with the emphasis on the less. There is this underlying assumption, one that we are not even aware of, that we are in some sort of hierarchy, with the fortunate on top and the needy on the bottom. If we ask for help without even realizing it, we believe we are lowering ourselves in that hierarchy. But is it true? And even more important, should we live our lives as if it is true? Because if it is true, how is that furthering our first principle of the inherent worth and dignity of every human being? People who receive do not have less dignity, less worth. Well, from our point of view, they don't, as long as we are the giver. Then why do we think and act like it will make us less if we are the receiver? Well, eventually I did find some material on receiving when I finally thought of searching for the gift of receiving. Wait, the gift of receiving? It is? So what did I find about the gift of receiving? There were a few references and a few wonderful stories. My favorite story was that of a teacher who had a not very well off student give her an old worn teddy bear. At first, she didn't want to take it and deprive the little boy of an obviously loved bear. But when she started to give it back, she saw disappointment on his face and decided to give the gift of receiving by keeping the bear and treasuring it till this day. This is better. This gives us an excuse to receive something. We are giving someone a gift, and that is wonderful. But it doesn't go far enough. There is still the underlying theme of giving, and therefore it is acceptable to us. But there is more. I also found a sermon given a few years earlier by the Reverend David Takahashi Morris at the Mount Diablo Unitarian Universalist Church. And you can imagine how proud I was that it was a fellow UU. His theme was actually the same as mine. However, his topic was actually very different. His topic was the compassionate community. This excited me to no end, because that is what I ultimately want to get to, community, and how I believe being able to receive as well as gift is necessary for community. So what is the definition of community? I looked it up, and here's what the dictionary had to say. First, a geographic definition. a group of people living in the same locality and under the same government. Or the district or locality in which such a group lives, the Boise community. Or two, something in common, a group of people having common interests, the scientific community. Or a group viewed forming a distinct segment of society, the gay community. Or the third definition, the sharing community, similarity or identity, a community of interests, sharing, participation, and fellowship, the BOOF community. It is, of course, this last definition with which we are concerned, and which, in a sense, we are referring to when we use our sixth principle, the goal of world community with peace, liberty, and justice for all. But we have much more personal goal in mind when so many of us keep coming to BOOF because we find community here. It is the sharing, participation, and fellowship that we want and that we need. So let's examine these three things. I'm going to start with fellowship. We are, after all, the Boise Unitarian Universalist Fellowship. Doesn't that imply an equality? If we unconsciously divide people into givers and takers, aren't we somehow implying that givers are good and takers are not? We're back to that hierarchy I talked about earlier. It's real hard to have fellowship with someone who we think of as a taker. Why do we think of people who receive something as takers anyway? It's not givers and takers, but givers and receivers. The middle part of that definition is participation. We could have be, of course, referring to attending services or events or serving on committees. But it's really more than that. Let's take a really obvious community, the family. When we think of family, we don't envision a give and take where each person serves a function. And if each has a function, aren't the other members of the family receiving that function? We don't have a problem with one person cooking dinner and we eat it, or with someone else taking the car in for an oil change. Don't I wish? We are even okay with letting family take care of us when we're sick. So it's okay in a family situation to benefit from the service of others. We have similar language when we talk about our church community. We talk about each person having gifts. But here is where the shift begins. There are some gifts that we allow others to give to us in a church community. For example, some people preach sermons, and we receive that gift. Others take care of the church finances, and that is also okay. Others care and visit people, well, people who are... You see, here's where the breakdown begins. We don't even allow ourselves to go there. Somehow at this point, we would start with, if I really needed it. We avoid telling people that we need help unless it is really obvious. Think about it. Last November, my dad died. It was 3 days between, finding out and when I left to go to his memorial service. I had told a few people and got the normal, if you need anything, just let me know. I, of course, didn't. Though when I look back, I would really like to have had somebody bring me dinner and just sit and talk with me. But it wasn't necessary. I was fine. So I did what most of us do. I kept quiet. But what about that when that need is a bit more obvious? There are a lot of people in this community who struggle financially. We have a food bank to help support them, but I've never seen anybody use it. I know it's used, but many people will be very, very discreet about it, so as not to be embarrassed. These are just some examples, and I'm sure there are others. But we hesitate because ultimately it is because we are less if we receive this type of help. So if we aren't going to let people care and visit us, are we denying them the use of their gifts? What if that were true for all gifts? Yours, for instance. So we can see that community, by definition, requires receiving as well as giving. Reverend Morris put it this way in his sermon: compassionate community is a completed circuit of giving, receiving, asking and offering, helping and being helped, and the process growing more and more into our true selves. Which brings us to sharing. Can you share with someone who isn't willing to receive anything? I looked up sharing too. The first definition of sharing is using or enjoying jointly with others. Is it really sharing if you give everything away? No, there is a necessary give and receive with sharing. Notice I purposely didn't use give and take, because of the images we have of taking. So in each of the words we use to define community, there is a requirement of receiving as well as giving. As Dr. Morris put it, your willingness to ask for help when you need it and to receive it graciously when it is offered is not a sign of weakness. It is an act of courage and a sign of strength. It is a gift. The person you invite to share this truth of your life first receives the gift of an enlarged, expanded self because of your trust. In your appreciation for what they offer, they receive the gift of being seen, and honored. But the exchange is not only between the two of you. The whole community receives the gift of being brought singing to life by the flow that is our lives into one another. I know this is not the sermon you would expect to find a reference to the seventh principle, but I'm going to use it anyway. Our seventh principle reads, respect for the interdependent web of all existence of which we are a part. Usually we use this to refer to being green, caring for nature. But it doesn't say nature. It says all existence. One of the key words is interdependent. It means respecting the fact that we are, in this or any community, interdependent upon one another. So the next time you need help, ask. The next time someone offers to help, say yes. Because only when we are willing to both give and receive, to be interdependent, will we really have true community. Here's a little poem I wrote in an attempt to express some of this. It is better to give than receive, but that doesn't mean that receiving is bad. Remember when the poet said, no man is an island? That means us. And not just when we are down and out, but now and always. Because when you receive, you give the gift of giving and respect the interdependent web of which we are all a part. Amen.